Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show for Monday, December 30th, 2019. I'm Scott, he's Brian. Everybody, welcome back to the Boop Show, the last one you're going to get in the year of 2019. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm good, man. How was your Christmas?
Oh, my gosh. Every year, man. It's just like, I don't deserve any of these things. Santa's obviously not paying attention.
Did you get Christmassy things or video gamey things for Christmas, I meant to say?
Oh, you know, I did, and we should talk about that for a second, because I did get something very cool for Christmas. I got an Oculus Rift S.
Oh,
nice.
That's right. Now, why let me ask you this, because inquiring minds want to know, why did you get that and not the Quest? Because the Quest now doubles as a Rift, so why that?
Because my loving fiance, who loves me very much and always says that I always take the lesser of the things that I desire when I asked her for an Oculus Go because it was on sale during the holidays, the 32 gigabyte.
Yeah.
It was on sale for $130. And I know it's really only good for like watching movies and stuff. So $130 for watching movies with an Oculus Go in the bed, that sounded like it was a good deal. So she said, well, I'm not getting him none of that mesh. I'm going to go out there and spend some money.
Yeah.
And so that's what she did. She got me the Oculus Rift S. And I haven't read anything about the S because my laptop and my gaming PC right now is not up to snuff, really. I mean, it's the minimum. It is the minimum you can use to do that. So I was like, so I got it. And I'm sure my face kind of said, oh,
yeah,
this is nice.
Well, at least you said this is
nice. Did you keep the receipt?
Yeah. No, that's
what was even worse than that? Yeah. What was even worse than that is the night before, like on Christmas Eve, before I got it, I didn't tell her this at the time, but apparently one of my children knew I was getting the Rift S and then told another like 12-year-old. And that 12-year-old came up to me at the Christmas party and said, I heard you getting an Oculus. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? And he was like all yelling it and stuff. And like, I was pretty sure that I shouldn't know this information. So I was trying to shut him up.
Yeah, you're not supposed to know that ahead of time. It's supposed to be kept secret. Sure. Here's the thing though. Interesting. So the Rift S is, they've had plenty in stock. The Quest has been out of stock because that thing is now both things for the same price. You get the portability of the Quest. And when you want to plug it into a USB-C cable, you get Rift capability, and it's a Rift.
That's the way to go because it's the latest, right? Because the Rift S was what, 2018 when it came out, or 2017, and so now we're heading into February. You can get when it comes out officially. This is supposed to be the new jam.
Well, this is the Rift S and the Quest both came out this year.
I didn't think the Quest was coming out until February.
Oh no, I've owned it since February of this year. So both of these launched in February of this year. I've got the Quest now. You have a Rift S. The only difference between the two is one is now the only difference is one can be portable and one can't be. So I'm very curious.
Right, which is what I wanted.
Yeah, yeah. So I wonder how that will end up going with you, because now you're basically permanently tethered, and there are some people who are ticked about that, because when the Quest was launched, there was no link cable. There was no option for this. So you were basically faced with, well, do you want a slightly slower but portable solution, or do you want tethered to your PC and therefore the one that's going to play all your existing VR games, blah, blah, blah. Do you want that solution? And a lot of higher-end gamers went, yeah, well, of course I want the Rift S because I want to have the PC connectivity. So I want to do that. And then Oculus turned right around and said, oh, by the way, it was a few months later, we've got a cool thing coming. You can plug a USB-C cable into the Quest, and it's now a Rift S. just by plugging it in. So now you have both. And just people by, who bought Rift S's were just like, but what? People were irritated.
Right.
So
and so you're not going to get any information from me because she saw my disappointment and I explained to her exactly my reasoning behind reason why I even asked for an Oculus, because I wasn't even really even in the market for the Oculus. I just happened to see a really good deal on the Oculus Go and it fit in with what I wanted to do. But I do want to get the Quest eventually, but I wasn't really looking for it.
Sure. So, no, I get it. That may be, they may not be back in stock until February. That might be what you saw or something.
Maybe that's what I was seeing, but yeah, it's not going to, so we went ahead and sent it back. So there'll be no Oculus Rift here because like I said, I just don't have the PC and I actually looked at it with a little bit of hope in my eyes and went, well, I'd really need a new gaming PC if I was going to use this.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. You get that Quest. You get the Quest for the same price, and then you don't need the PC for it. And then if a PC does come along where you're like, ooh, this is going to be good for VR, you've already got the Rift part built in because of the Link thing.
Right.
So that's what you should do is save that money and plunk it down on a Quest come February or whenever it's back in stock.
Well, we talked about that because my birthday will be around in March. And so I've already have like tethered VR, right? I've already been playing that for a while, and while it is neat to have it and it is very powerful, it being tethered really breaks the experience, in my opinion.
It can
for me.
Yeah,
for me.
It's nice to have the freedom. I think wireless is the future, and we're all just, you know, these are all baby steps getting there. The Quest is the biggest step forward in that regard. The fact that they're letting people tether who want to is a big deal. I think that they made a bad PR decision to announce that Link thing after a bunch of people bought Rift S's because they would have gone the other way had absolutely they known that was coming. So yeah, that's an annoying thing that happened there. But
you know, that's just all a part of being early, right? You early adopt and you it's the cost.
That's right. It's the cost. Early days, man. So get ready. I've been playing a lot of Tetris, Brian.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. It's almost like there's like only 2 days before 2020, and you're playing some Russian game from the 80s, 70s. When did Tetris start?
70s. Tetris was 80s. As 80s, right? Wasn't it 80s?
I played it during the 80s, but I was trying to recall if it actually existed before then.
Now that you're saying that, I'm starting to question myself. But it was that dude. I forgot his name, but that Russian dude, what made it?
Yeah, Mr. Tetris. That was his name.
He didn't get a lot of credit for it, but
Vlad Tetris.
Yeah, Vladimir Tetris.
Vladimir Tetris.
He made a Tetris game, and then the Russian government controlled all the money it made, and that pissed a lot of people off. And then eventually there was some weird combination of ownership rights between Nintendo and not Tenchu. What was the name of the Japanese company? Anyway. They had their own version, so there was at one point you could buy a version of Tetris on the NES that was Nintendo published and another one that was published by this other Japanese company. Nintendo would make various others down the road, but you would also see it on other platforms because, again, there's like a weird licensing thing going on. I don't totally understand it. Excuse me. I sneezed. I should have hit the button that makes it so people don't have to hear me sneeze. Yeah, that was a
holy
powerful
Moses.
Came from way down.
That was one of those dad sneezes. You just can't escape one of those. You're like, you're sitting and you're trying to enjoy your meal and dad comes up one of those. Woo.
Yeah. Big time woo sneezer. My dad. And I got that from him. So anyway, here's the funny thing about the Tetris thing. I've been playing a bunch of Tetris because, at the Epic Store on PC, they did a holiday deal where for, oh gosh, how much money? You just had to go in and sign in for it, and they give you a free $10 gift certificate toward any game. And they also had a sale on Tetris Effect, which used to be PlayStation only. It was also a VR game there. Tetris Effect is now on the Epic Store, and that's where they're starting with it. I'm sure it'll show up in other places. But I decided to use that $10 toward that, so that game ended up costing me like $15 or something. I don't remember exactly.
$10.
And it's really cool. It's as cool as everybody said it is. It's a great time to spend time in Tetris again because I love Tetris. And so I played a crap ton of that over the holiday. And then I also got in the mood to play the greatest Battle Royale game of all time. You might know it as Tetris, or no, I'm sorry, Tetris 99. So I played a crap load of Tetris 99 on the Switch and got my
99,
first
99, dude.
I got my first win ever, which was great.
Oh yeah, interesting.
Yeah, that felt good. I've lost a lot of games though in between that particular win, so no big surprise there. But I really, really like Tetris 99. I have since they launched it, which is also a game this year. Anyway, so between these two, that was kind of most of my holiday play, because when I was kind of around, the house or whatever, or wasn't in front of my PC, I was playing Tetris 99, and when I was around, my PC, I'd play Tetris Effect. And
yeah, these Tetris games are like great games in between naps, right? It's tired.
They absolutely are. And they're great, like, I don't know, man, you just can chill and just forget about your day. And
right,
I don't know, there's something about Tetris. It's a venerable game. It's been around forever. One of the greatest games of all time, in my opinion.
And, well, the game is about as relaxing and just methodical as you can get until your bricks get above about midway, and then it starts becoming a stress fest.
Yeah, especially, well, in the case of Tetris 99, the minute you start having people win, things start getting really frenetic and fast, and you can also attack each other, and it's insanity. But I really enjoy it, so I played a lot of Tetris. That's basically my holidays. That's Christmas for me. This year.
That's Christmas.
When I wasn't doing stuff with family or whatever, there was plenty of that, obviously, but I played a great deal of Tetris. Boy, the guy that did the video I'm watching right now, his method of playing is, let's go almost to the top as far as we can go.
Right.
And then let's just hope we get a whole bunch of long ones, long bodies.
Yeah.
And you do.
Watching the same thing. Yeah, that's what, you know, this is kind of how I play it too.
I don't do that much stacking. I'll do four stacks every time I can do them, because you get bonuses for that and everything. But man, I need to.
Yeah, if you leave that right side open like that with the long ones, that is really, it's a great. It's a great method until it stops working.
Right.
And then you're screwed.
Like right now, he's playing with Destiny here. He's okay.
Right.
He finally got one, and now he's moved on to the next level. The cool thing about Tetris Effect, if you haven't played it, is it's VR enabled on PS4 and PC for that matter, I guess. But you're playing Tetris. It's Tetris as Tetris, but you're playing really crazy, trippy levels. The best comparison I would use is something like, Tetris, or not? Not Tetris.
You know what this is like? You know what this reminds me of? No. Tetris.
I can't think of it. Tempest 2000. Remember that when they had that crazy Tempest game?
Yeah. That's a good comparison.
Reminds me of that.
I mean, not as good as Tetris, but it's pretty good.
It's really just, you want to put headphones on. You want to get surround sound if you can. It just is an amazing sounding, looking, very psychedelic, trippy way to play the game of Tetris, and I enjoy it. Greatly is a understatement. So I did a bunch of that, and then, like I said, I played a whole bunch of the one on Nintendo's Switch, which is great too, and I would highly recommend that. And even if, like, all you got to do to get that game is you got to pay their multiplayer $3 a month thing, whatever it is, to play on the Switch. Right. But that's free. You don't have to pay for it. It's just a game you get, and they've added a ton of stuff to it, including a single player mode. They've added bot modes. They've added like co-op modes and like all sorts of stuff since they launched it. So that game just gets better and better. And I know I've talked about it on the show before, but you know, it's the holidays. We got to talk about what we've been playing. So that's me.
Yeah, I mean, if you were expecting a regular episode for the last episode of 2019, what were you thinking? Yeah, it's going to be a mixed match.
Do you have a game, before we get to your stuff you're playing now, do you have a game that came out this year that you would look to and say, that's my favorite game of the year?
Absolutely. It's actually one of the things I was wanting to talk about later on, just to mention. There's a couple of games earlier on. Are we going to do our game of the year now? Or do you want to wait?
You know what? All right. We'll wait until before the emails. We'll announce each of our picks for the greatest game of the year. For each of us.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough.
And remember, people, before you start getting excited, this is our personal preference of greatest game, not some kind of, you know, magical formula that someone else used. This is just like, hey, you know, I like this game. This is me. This is the game that stood out for me.
Right. Exactly right. All right. So tell me about your thing. What are you playing? Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
The Game Pass, or I guess it's on the Xbox, though, because I couldn't find it on PC, but Game Pass got Witcher 3, so you've been playing that.
That's right. So we've talked about here before that one of my big, embarrassing things that I never got to play was The Witcher 3. So, and really The Witcher series completely, but I just recently, every time I turn around, I feel like there's just more and more Witcher. There's a series on Netflix, and I was wanting to consume it, and I was like, do I need to play the game first? Probably not. And then I saw on the Game Pass, popped up, The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to get in here and see what all the hubbub is about.
Yeah, 2015's easily the best game of 2015.
Easily.
And maybe the best game of the decade, it could be argued. And even 5 years on, it still looks great. They just released a Switch version. It's on sale everywhere. Game Pass got it. Not on PC, though. This is just on Xbox for now. And also, I should mention this. Currently on Steam, it's the most concurrent players of any single player game ever, and is higher than when the thing launched on Steam. So part of that sales, part of that's the TV show, part of that's a lot of stuff coming together. But the Witcher 3 enjoying a second life here a little bit.
Absolutely. Like I said, especially with it being, for me, like you said, Netflix series and then being on the Game Pass, because I almost want to cheat when you ask me what my favorite game of the year is, because I might just have to say Xbox Game Pass, because it had opened up so many things to me that I never got a chance to play and I wanted to. And that's so true with this. And I'll tell you just I played maybe 3 or 4 hours of The Witcher 3, which is not, you know, nearly, that's not even a eighth of the way through, I'm sure.
Not even close. That thing's like 100 and something. Somebody clocked that if you did every single side thing, 300 hours or something.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. But the taste that I got was, oh my gosh, this is an amazing game that I never knew existed. And part of that is this amazing storytelling, the elements of where you're at. Just the attention to detail and love. My favorite thing, this may be my favorite game and has set a new bar for me for one aspect of a video game. Mm. Whenever you're talking to NPCs in a lot of games, and you get to those, you know, you get to those where you're talking to them, and most games just do this. They'll have a character's face there, and the face will be sitting there and looking at you and holding really still and just talking. Not in Witcher 3. You got actual acting going on while they're talking to you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and the way they do it is so beautiful. Now, it's not like the only game that does it, but I think they may do it the best. I actually felt like I was having a conversation with these characters because they were so much attention to detail of character movement, body language. I mean, they didn't just read the dialogue. They acted the dialogue. And I'm like, you got me. I'm sucked in.
Yeah.
Sucked in.
This game is great. It's first and second were pretty good too. This is easily the best of the series. And it's all based on books. Top-selling books. The show is more based on the books than the game is, I guess. The game takes more leeway than the books do. Or the TV show does. You plus all this news about it, plus everything else that's going on, kind of put me back in the mood to get back in. I haven't played it in a while.
You got it.
I never finished it, like complete. I never, 100%ed it. I still kind of want to do that one day. Game looks great, plays great, looks good on PCs
now. It looks great. I couldn't believe it when I was playing it. I was like, oh, too bad I missed this game last year. And I went and looked, 2015. Holy Moses.
Yeah.
This was good.
Seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't. It was a good year. That was the same. That year, you got The Witcher on the Witcher 3. Sorry, Wild Hunt.
Right, right.
And you got Mad Max Fury Road.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, a movie that
there's a game I never really played, but I own on several platforms.
Oh, you should play that Mad Max game. It's fun. It's not. It's not Fury Road, but it's a side tail thing, and it's very good. It's. I mean, for what it is, it's basically, you know, open world Assassin's Creed style, but in a wasteland, and I loved it. That game's cool too. I enjoyed that game a lot. But I mean, The Witcher 3 is like maybe one of the best games ever made.
So I want to thank Xbox Game Pass for changing my life this year. It has changed how I game.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, "Oh, those concurrent players, it wouldn't happen without Game Pass." No, that's Xbox only, and they're not tracking that. This is just Steam data. So imagine how much bigger it is beyond that on console, especially while now they're giving it away for free for people with a to people who subscribe.
You know, it's part of the value add, right? So there it is.
It would be really cool if the PC version was on Game Pass for PC. I would be very happy about that.
And the PC version has been on sale, and I've actually thought about picking up the PC version. But once again, I will tell you that my gaming PC is a Dell laptop, gaming laptop. It's only got a 1050 Ti NVIDIA in it. So, you know, very minimum of gaming enjoyment. So I don't know if it would look any better there than it would on my console, to be honest with you.
Yeah, at this stage, probably not. Right. It screams and just as smooth as butter.
By the way,
anything else? Or
way more naked people in The Witcher than I thought they would be.
Oh,
it's not like,
you're going to get more too as you go. If you're only 5 hours in, there is more waiting.
I assumed.
Yeah. Worry not. Like, if your goal is nudity in a video game, I got some good news for you. Cause
I've got good news for you, buddy.
Cause boom, that game's got it. Nudes. All right. Well, Witcher 3, not a new game, but a great game nonetheless. And that's what we do.
New
on
to
this
me.
Show. We don't always on this show talk about stuff that's brand new. Not always. Sometimes, but not always. All right. Jumping back over to my next game. I returned to two games. I will briefly mention that the Switch had an eShop deal on a game called Broforce, which everyone.
Oh, yeah. I love Broforce.
Broforce is amazing.
Is that the time one?
It's like super over the top. They take movie archetypes, like instead of RoboCop, it's BrovoCop. Instead of Rambo, it's Rambro.
Didn't we play Broforce?
I think we might have tried back in the day when it was like an early access or something. I think maybe when I tried. It's a very, very cool game. One of my favorite indies of all time. There's something about the way it plays that I love. I don't know. Can't even put my finger on it. Just the way that game plays, the loop of it is one of my favorite things ever. And I love Broforce. So I played it to death on PC.
I just wanted to say I love you, bro.
I played it to death on PC, so you'd think I'd have my fill. However, Broforce showed up on the eShop for $5 or $3.99 or something. I don't know what it was. Something close to $4. And I went, playing this again. And other than it doesn't play like the custom levels you can do on PCs, I wish it did, but it doesn't do that or have a level creator thing. If it did, it might be the greatest value of all time. As it stands, the core game is very good and still fun, and I like it a lot, and I was happy to play it there. So that was just a little side note. And I think the deal's still going on. I think you can still get that price, I think.
It's hard to argue with Broforce. Was it? What did you say it was?
$1? Like $3 or something. It was stupid cheap.
$3.
It's normally like $19 or $15 or something, and it was like $3 for the holiday sale. I think it's still happening, so you should go get that. It's perfect for the format. Just feels great on a Switch. I'm playing on a Switch Lite, and it's great. So that when I wasn't playing Tetris, that was taking up a lot of my time. But I also found out and missed it altogether that on the 12th, one of my more anticipated early access games, StarCom Nexus, finally exited early access. And you might remember me bringing this up before, but it's like a top-down space exploration dealie. And it is awesome. I don't know what to compare this to. Back in the day, there were a bunch of like 90s-era PC games where it was like top-down, your ship's flying through space, you're discovering, scanning new worlds. And when you scan them, it turns out, oh, they've got resources. You get those resources. You can use those to add upgrades to your ship or whatever. You can build your ship out with better engines, better weapons, better warp capability, that sort of thing. It's story quests, but also a lot of sort of open world randomness happening. The graphics in this game are very nice, very minimal, but also very nice. And
where the graphics?
The graphics are, I wish I had that clip still. I don't have that clip anymore.
Aww.
The planets look really cool. The little space stations look cool. The story stuff's good. It's just a great little one of those. And for a game that's just trying to sort of kind of recapture some of that 90s era space exploration you know, right. RPG style thing. I think it does a really good job of that. And I liked it when it was in the only problem I had with it when it was in early access is every time they'd patch it, you'd lose your saves. Super annoying.
Ooh, yeah, you can't do that.
And they told us that. They kept saying, oh, yeah, you'll lose your saves. It's just the way this game is written, blah, blah, blah.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it bummed me out.
You better figure something else out.
Yeah, it bummed me out. So I kind of stopped playing it until they were done because I didn't want to lose. I keep losing my saves. So now they're done, and you won't lose your saves. Just you can play it, and you're good.
You can just, whoever programmer told you that, punch them in the face, figure it out.
There was I guess there was some hack around way you could like export your, go to your file, wherever the save files are on your drive, and then pull them out and then do something hokey to an INI file and then make them work. But I didn't want to bother going through all that. So I just waited. It was fine to wait.
You do the hokey pokey and you turn your bits about.
And that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Anyway, good game. Fun to return to it. StarCom Nexus available on Steam and out of early access currently. So as a full game now available to play, if you need a little space itch that needs to be scratched, you could do a whole lot worse than that. All right, Brian, tell me about your final hours.
The deep nether regions of space itch.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah, how'd it go? You beat the Luigi's Mansion, did you?
So here was the deal.
Yeah.
The deal was I wanted to complete Luigi's Mansion 3 for the Switch before Christmas because I wanted to hand that off to my oldest son, Andrew, for kind of like, you know, like a little Christmas bonus. Mm-hmm. Not really a Christmas present, but just, hey, additionally, here it is. So I was very close. And so I finally just, I did a marathon right before Christmas of Luigi's Mansion 3, and I was able to beat it. And I did it in about 22 hours total, which was about average for what I did. I didn't get every little thing. I got a lot of things, but I didn't get every little thing. And I loved this game from beginning to end. As I went along, I learned some things. I don't know if this is how they did it, but I learned as I went along that it felt like each floor was designed by different teams or something, or maybe certain teams were assigned to do certain levels because it's like there's almost like a framework of what Luigi can do. And then they found ways to use those powers on each floor in a creative way. That's what it felt like. It felt like a real true collaborative effort between different level designers. And I could be totally wrong, but each floor seems so unique and outside of the last floor that I believe that's how it had to be done.
Were you ever scared in this game? Was there ever a time you're like, oh, that's a scary moment I got going on with Luigi?
So, you know, Luigi's Mansion is not necessarily like it's not really scary. It's more like a creepy, and you're really supposed to be watching Luigi be kind of scared. It's more of a comedy horror kind of thing. You know, it's like when you watch Ghostbusters. I mean, there's no point in Ghostbusters other than the part where it goes, zoo, that you're really freaked out. You know, the rest of it's pretty tame. Yeah. You know, you laughed about Slimer and different things. And probably the scariest part was maybe when Winston was talking about the end of days and that kind of stuff. But other than that, that's kind of how Luigi's Mansion is. You know, it's just a little Ghostbusters fun, mostly funny. There's a couple of times where I guess if you were sitting in the dark, you might kind of go, oh, that's kind of creepy, but you're mostly just trying to solve puzzles. You're trying to solve puzzles and fight ghosts. You feel pretty powerful because you got most of the tools to do just that.
Every time I look at it, I just love looking at him. It looks like such a fun romp. So I need to just get the damn thing and quit thinking about it.
It is so much fun. Oh, by the way, after I finished it, and I was like, hey, Drew, I was like, I said, did you ever get a chance to Luigi's Mansion? And he said, yeah, I got it for Christmas. I was like, dang it.
Oh.
So I finished up for nothing, but that's okay because that was good. In actuality, it was good because when I finished it up, about the time I finished it up the same day, they announced a bunch of multiplayer content that they're releasing this coming up. There's already some multiplayer content, but they're adding a lot more.
What do you do in the multiplayer?
Well, you play different. I haven't played much of it yet, but it looks like you play like just levels of floors, but you play together. And usually what we've been doing, the multiplayer is one person plays Luigi, another person plays Gooigi. So I'm assuming it's kind of in that same vein. But then I also saw like some challenge areas where you're doing it on different floors and you're trying to catch the ghost, the most ghost in a certain time frame, there's a couple different modes. I haven't looked deep into it. I just know that it's there. There's more content coming. And as a result, I need to hold on to it and not just give it away.
Would you call it, but not competitive, then like a co-op multiplayer stuff? That's the plan?
I think there's both. I think there's a little bit of co-op stuff and there's a little bit of competitive.
Okay.
Trying to capture the most ghost during that time. By the way, this game ends with the big boss, King Boo. And dude.
Is he rough?
That was tough. That was tough.
Yeah.
There were some bosses in this game that are super. That's what I like about this game. They're tough, but not impossible. Very well balanced, in my opinion. I was right on the verge of being frustrated with King Boo when I was finally able to beat him.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. When I was finally able to beat him. Also, a little tip, if you are playing Luigi's Mansion, there's a aspect of the game that seems kind of half-baked. And that is where you can go to the lab and you can use the coins you've collected throughout the game, which you're always collecting coins, but mostly it's just fun to do. And you can spend those coins on bones or ghost finders or a couple of different things. I found them pretty useless up until the very last two, the mini boss and the big boss. And when I got killed by the mini boss, it went way back in the story. I was like, crap. But if I had some bones on me, I could have kept going. So I went in and I loaded up. I think I could carry a max of 8 bones so I could be revived without losing my spot. So when you get near the end, you can't get back to the lab. So buy all the bones you can. That way you don't have to do like I did, which is go really far and start all back over again.
Oof.
That was kind of rough.
Oof.
Ugh, right?
Yeah.
Ugh. Like lesson that. Learned, Luigi.
Lesson learned.
I'm Mario.
Maybe Luigi should have given you some advice or something.
I love Luigi. I've learned it's fun because this game can be played in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways is if you find effective ways to use Luigi other than the things that you might expect him to do.
Yeah. Free lube, for example. No?
Free Luigi goo.
Luigi lube. Yeah, that's something
Luigi.
You don't want to buy that.
It's a Luigi.
I every time I see you play this, I want to play it. It looks great.
I guess this
isn't you though. This is somebody else. Yeah, this.
Yeah, that's not me. I should have put my footage from previously.
This Ruben guy doesn't know how to find. He doesn't know how to pick things up. He's irritating me.
Ruben don't know how to play no Luigi Mansion.
Yeah, he needs to pick up money when he knocks it out of things. My gosh. All right, quick update on The Witcher 3. If you beat everything in the complete edition, which I believe is what Game Pass gives you. 191 hours of your completionist, main story 52 only, main and extras, meaning some, you know, side quests, 127 hours. So you're going to be somewhere between, my guess is 100 and 150 hours on this thing.
I believe it. Yeah. And if I'm going to do that, I might switch over to my PC.
No.
Do they have this on Stadia?
No, I don't think so. I say that without actually knowing. I don't actually know.
That's too bad.
What's crazy is The Witcher 2 had 53 hours of viewer completionist, 24 for the main story. I mean, this thing tripled in size.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. Wow.
Crazy. I don't know how they did it. Like I said, you get an instant realization when you're playing that game that, oh my God, they put so much into this game.
Yeah.
I mean, just crazy amounts.
It's a beast of content, but very good content. I will say that. Real quick mention, I got back into The Division 2 a little bit.
They let you back in?
Mostly these last couple days. I don't know why, what they did, they've improved it though. They nailed what I liked. I see. Okay. Let me put it this way. This game is, you know, supposed to kind of raid with your friends and do, you know, co-op stuff, and you can do, you know, single player stuff here and there, but really, you know, there's the big stuff, the important stuff, and the end game stuff is all about you and your friends doing raids and killing big bosses and that sort of thing. Think of it as Destiny.
Big bosses and I cannot lie.
That's right. Think of it as like Destiny, but third person, right? That's kind of the idea. Well, right. That doesn't really work for me because what I want out of these games is I like the solo experience. I like to run around in The Division 1 or 2 and kind of just rock it out on my own. It's just kind of it's just how I like to play. And early on in this game's release, even though I think it still had a pretty strong release, it wasn't perfect. And I think they made things harder for people who just wanted to kind of hang and be by themselves than it needed to be. They've done a ton of work in here. Lots of sort of life improvement changes and small stuff like that that has made this game feel really good suddenly. So I am kind of all back in on Division 2, at least for now. All right,
Division 2. Where do you have that on the Epic Game Store?
PC.
Not Epic Game Store. Game Store. Ubisoft, right?
Yeah, I got it off the Ubisoft store because I know somebody there and I got a discount, but you can get it on...
What? You know somebody there? Well, I know somebody here. Maybe those somebodies know each other.
Maybe those two somebodies can get together.
But I think I actually had Division 2, but I think...
They're it's on everything. So you want
right
consoles, they got it. You want it on Epic Store, Steam, freaking I think Good Old Games even has it now, or directly on the Uplay Store. Anyway, I think it's maybe the best Ubisoft game of the year, and that says a lot because I'm trying to think what came out this year. It's just this and the Wildlands follow up, whatever it's called. I forgot now all of a sudden. And that thing's got some issues. I think they'll iron them out, but for now, it's like, you guys let me know when that's better. And this is better, man. This is a good game.
They're like, okay, Scott, we'll let you know.
I'm impressed with it. All right. Let's pick our game of the year. This is going to be tricky because I'm super
because
torn.
It's tricky to rock a rhyme. I'm right on time.
It's very tricky. You have on here God of War, but that came out last year, right? That was 2018.
No, that was this year, wasn't it?
Hold on. God of War.
Did that happen like in March?
Release date. I want to say that was 2018. Let me look. Yeah, 2018.
Yeah, you're right.
April,
oh, what?
April of 2018. Yeah, as a while ago.
Wow, that's just sad. I thought I'd...
Oops.
That's sad.
No, it's not sad. It just means you've, It's just a thing. You didn't notice. You just missed it. It's okay. That game's still amazing and valid. Yeah.
So, well, that's okay because I thought The Witcher 3 was from like last year. So what do I know? Time is going by too fast. Slow down.
I guess so. It's really impossible to do given how many games there are now. Plus, my tastes are all over the map. But I am going to say that the game that was new this year that I enjoyed the most. And I'm gonna caveat that because there were other games I enjoyed more, but they weren't new this year. So, okay. So I just want to make that clear. The new game I enjoyed the most was The Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's my game of the year.
Yeah. So I was with you. Also, when I picked it up.
Yeah.
The Outer Worlds was my game of the year. I think we talked about this a little bit, but you know, a couple of more games came along. We had Jedi Fallen Order. I was really interested, got hot about that for a minute and thought, wow, this is maybe my favorite single, you know, Jedi experience that I've had in a while. I mean, how can I not at least put that way up there? Mm-hmm. And it may come as no surprise. I'm still going with Death Stranding.
Oh, that's right. You really enjoyed Death Stranding. That's true. And I didn't play it. So in fairness here, we're picking games that maybe we haven't both played. So
right. Right. Yeah. And you could easily argue me down and go, oh, but, you know, it's really just a walking simulator, or, you know, there's too many ads in it, or, you know, it doesn't have the charm of this or that. And that's fine. That's fine. But for me, Death Stranding stood out. Mm. It stood out in a way that I felt like Outer Worlds did not stand out, even though it was a great game, solid game, great gameplay, great fun storyline, I loved the decision making and all that stuff. It was fresh in the way that it made me think, am I making the right decision? Mm-hmm. It really made me question that. So that was really well done. But I really got to say, this year stood out. Death Stranding just stands out. I mean, when you ask me in the future, first I'll go, was that 2018? But then once I actually start remembering, I'll go, oh yeah, that was the year that Death Stranding came out. And that really affected me.
Also, had I played Control, I'd probably be talking about that, but I haven't played it yet.
Right, right.
Probably end up playing that next year sometime and then going, oh my gosh, what a cool game. How come it took me so long to play it? Like a lot of that stuff happens for us.
And this is a transition year for the Boob Show because we've both had things change in our podcasting world. The core changed a little bit, which meant that, you know, we had to change a little bit, or we decided to change a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be focusing less on some of these bigger games next year and more on independent games, probably.
Yeah.
So
we've always sort of leaned that way anyway. Evolving. Like we like indie efforts. We like small teams. We like experiences you don't necessarily get in big AAA games. We'll still talk about them here and there, but I like our trend. I like where we're headed.
I like the stuff we
talk about. Yeah. And I think look, we live in an embarrassment of riches time. There's so many games coming out every freaking week that it's just nonstop.
Yeah. This year for me wasn't about any single game necessarily. That's the reason why it was so hard for me to pick one other than one that just kind of stood out, just different. But I mean, gaming services have finally, we've had gaming services for a while, but I feel like they are just clicking. It is just all clicking so well. I have never felt like I've had so much to game, so many good quality games on the Game Pass, and the Stadia for me personally, how my Stadia experience has been with Google Stadia has been fantastic. I can't speak for anybody else. There's a lot of moving parts on that thing. And for me, it was a great experience, and I'm looking forward to this next year with the Xbox. The Xbox is what they're going to call it, right?
Yeah.
Not the Series X.
It is called the Series X, but technically the branding is still just Xbox. Yeah.
In the end, they're just going to call it Xbox. And it's January. As soon as next week, my next paycheck, my next little bit of money, I'm putting back. I'm starting right now. I'm saving for it because it's going to come out next November or December, they said.
Yeah.
I think.
All right, so you're pretty settled then. You're not eyeing a PS5 at all.
Not unless they give me something compelling to do. I started out this last generation with the PS4, and very gladly so, because Xbox stumbled in this current generation and they're swaggering out, and so. Right now, I'm hoping that they're going to swagger in with the next one, and then maybe Sony will figure it out and they'll win me back over.
Next E3 will be a big deal. We're gonna learn a lot. Yeah, we're gonna learn a lot about what we're gonna do personally, but also kind of what the industry is gonna do around those two industry giants, and whether or not they'll have the sway that they've always had, whether Google can get their poop together and make that thing work for more people, not just you. See what Microsoft has in store for their streaming stuff. Like, there's a lot at stake this year, and I'm very excited to see how this all pans out. I love this part of the business. Right. So much fun to watch.
I do too. It is super exciting for me, and I've had a great gaming year, and I just see it being even better next year. I'm so excited about the stuff I don't even know about yet.
did Dead Cells didn't come out of early access this year? That was last year, right?
Right. Now, you talked a lot about it early this year, but I thought I talked a lot about God of War early this year. And maybe I did. Maybe I didn't get it until late.
Oh, it was released. Sorry. They released it officially in 2018. So I played that game a lot from early access on, and I was playing it for a couple of years before it came out. So I couldn't remember when they finally did it. If that was a 2019 calendar year game, that might have been my game of the year, because I love Dead Cells, man. So good. Oh, my gosh.
And my guys, it's so good.
Well, there's our unceremonious look at our brand new 2019 game of the year from Scott and Brian. Okay, now you got to do this. Your game of the year that is not from this year, but you enjoyed the most.
Oh, absolutely. The Switcher. I had no clue. It stopped all my other gaming. I went back to mention Luigi's Mansion, but I played that before Witcher came on. And once it was in, I was having trouble switching to anything else. Mm. It was just...
You might call it the switcher.
The switcher. My switcher.
If you own it on the Switch, you can call it that. Okay.
Honey, give me my Switch. Not that stick. Switch.
For me, it's a toss-up with a whole bunch of different games, but I think the one I'll settle on is ESO. Elder Scrolls Online got its claws into me this year, and I think they killed it with their latest expansion. Their numbers have all gone up. They've got big stuff on the horizon, including a Skyrim zone/expansion coming. And that game has really gotten good. And I love it. I really love it. So that's going to be my new one for the year.
I got to say that even though I said The Witcher, really The Wraith and Grateful Walkman nailed it with No Man's Sky, because I played hundreds of hours of that game this past year. And so, yeah, maybe that would it should have been what I said.
Well, Nomansky is an amazing game. And that's another example of a team, you know, sticking with the thing until it's great. And that thing sucked at launch and was very controversial as a result, but they've done it and it's really great. That game is great right now. Like, that's right up there for me. That's in my top five of the year that I played. But again, these are hard, you know, these are hard to quantify. Games are so much more, they have so much more life than they used to have. You know, they stick with them, even ones that aren't monthly subscriptions or whatever, or quote unquote games as a services. You still see development and things happen and DLC get released and new game modes. And it's just more than it's ever been. I forgot Horizon. I played a lot of Horizon. Forza Horizon 4. I played a lot of that.
Oh, I played so much of that as well.
And they've got some Battle Royale mode that I need to try. I keep hearing good things
about
that.
Oh, that's the new
Battle
Royale mode. Yeah, I haven't played it either, but it looks... I take that back. I did play for half a second, and you're supposed to race to the different areas where you can pick up a car, and you're supposed to stay within the circle. And I played it so poorly, I only played like two times. I was like, I'm out. Yeah. I'm out. I have to come back when I'm better.
Here's what I expect in 2020. I'll bet you that... the Ghost Recon game that right now people are a little down on, not JK Grammer in the chat, he's always up on it. I think this will be the year they get that worked out. They did the same thing with the previous game, made it amazing. It was one of my favorite games of the last couple of years. There's no reason why they can't get that game in shape. So I'm excited about that too. Anyway, 2020, going to be a good year, crazy year, because that's all new stuff coming out, man. It's going to be a big one. It's the 2020 is the 2013 of this decade, right? Because 2013 is when you got all the new consoles last time. Oh, look at you and your thing.
That's right.
What are you wearing? What is that? Your mixed reality head thing?
Yeah, Windows mixed reality.
Yeah, do you feel the mixed reality kicking in? Is it?
I'm punching you right now.
Sweet, look at that. Oh, I can. It's almost like I'm there. Look like eyeballs. I don't like that at all, dude. So somebody, you know what? I'll do it later. I'm going to go make a nice GIF of what you're doing right now. This is fantastic. You know what? Let's just watch this the rest of the day. Are you really in a game right now?
No, I'm not.
You had me fooled. Time for this.
I got
it's a me. Time for us to guess my game. Yeah, we play this game. It's fun. We play an old game, some audio from it. We try to guess what each other's game is. Here's mine. Brian, see if you can figure it out. Here you go. Any guesses yet?
Am I playing Pole Position? Sheesh.
Yeah. No.
Now this is old school.
I love this game so much. It's an arcade game.
It's definitely an arcade game.
Yeah.
This sounds... I know what this game is, and when you tell me, I'm going to be like, duh.
Listen to this part.
Like, what is this? Oh, my God. What is it? I know what it is. What is it? Why am I blanking on it?
It's Discs of Tron.
Oh my God! Of course, it's Disc of Tron. I couldn't get the visual image, but those sounds are just seared into my ears. Yeah, I mean,
I know. I do this all the time. I'll hear a game thing from an old arcade machine, and I'm 100%. It's like burned into my head, but I can't think of the name. Totally get it.
Oh my God!
But man, I love Discs of Tron. Love it, love it, love
it. I used to play the crap out of it. That was so much fun.
Somebody needs to make a cool... Well, I'm sure there is something like this in VR. Someone's got a VR Tron disc game, right?
Ooh, yes. There's got to be. I almost watched the first Tron and the reboot on the Disney Plus channel the other day, but I didn't do it.
That thing's a sequel,
I like that. I like the reboot.
It's not a reboot.
Don't like it.
It's
like
not a reboot, though, is it? It's like
I'm sorry. You're right. It's a continuation. You're right. A part two, the sequel.
I like it for some of it. Some of it is a problem.
Right.
A lot of it's good or fine. The soundtrack's amazing.
Did you see the first Tron?
Oh, yeah. I watched the first Tron over and over when I was a kid.
I mean, it's trash, but I love it. It's the kind of trash I love.
I love it, too. Those were the weird Disney days. Disney has has that whole IP, right? They need to, now that they've got a streaming service, we need a live-action freaking Tron series, dude.
Ooh, absolutely.
I would love it so much. I would love so, it so good. Much. When I was young, I wanted to drink Tron water. Do you remember the water they found? It was weird, glowy, freaking computer water. I wanted to drink my own Tron water.
Oh, we could finally live in a computer. That's what Tron's, you know, fantasy really was. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And Tondragosa doesn't. Netflix and Amazon won't do it. Disney owns the rights. They just need to get it on Disney Plus. They're having huge success with Mandalorian. Let's try to have that with Tron.
Oh, yeah.
The Tron universe is ready.
Yeah.
And if you ever played Tron 2.0, that was an amazing first person shooter. I love Tron 2.0. It's really,
oh, yeah.
Good.
So good.
Yeah. All right. I got a little excited there about that. And now this. Well, that's not it. There it is. All right, everybody. Time for us to read an email from a listener. This is from Dylan, who wrote in and says, hey, Dylan, about kart racers. He wants to talk about kart racers.
Remember we talked a few weeks ago about kart racers.
Yeah, we totally did. He says, hey, Scoot and Boop, I was listening back to an older episode where you guys were talking about kart racing games, specifically Mario Kart and Crash Team Racing, and it got me to thinking about a game I remember being very underrated. Did any of the either of you have any experience with Mod Nation Racers on the PS3? And let's see, I'd love another iteration of that series. Dylan, yes, I owned it. I played a ton of it. It was great. It had a really good track editor.
That was my favorite thing. The track editor was so good in that one.
Yeah, the actual racing wasn't. It was okay, serviceable, but in the same way. Okay, you know how like in Little Big Planet, the tools are amazing what you can make, right? Just incredible stuff you can make in that game. But the actual platforming, the minute-to-minute gameplay of the platforming, you know, it's no Mario. So
right.
I would say the same thing was true of Mod Nation Racers when it came to actual racing, but creating stuff in there and modding out your car and changing what you look like and people making little fake Mario-looking guys and that kind of stuff. That was really cool, and I loved that game. So, yes, Mod Nation Racers. Yeah. Let's see a new one. That would be cool.
Yeah, I didn't play it until later on. But when I did finally get it and played it, I loved it.
I want to say that was on PlayStation 3.
I think I had it on the PS. I believe I had it on the PSP is where I picked it up. I think I had a...
Was it PSP or Vita had that? I can't remember now.
I had it on the PlayStation. Probably for both because a lot of them were compatible, but I had it on the PlayStation Portal because I never had the Vita.
Let's see. Mod Nation Racers. 2010. It's been 10 years. Jeez.
Yeah.
It was first shown in 2009 at E3. I'm trying to find more here. And it's taking forever to open. Okay, there we go. Content creation developer. Reception. I'm just trying to find where it was. If there are any other devices, it says... Oh, PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation Portable. You're right, PSP. That was it.
But the Vita, it was on the Vita too, though, right? You could play a lot.
Doesn't say Vita here. No Vita on the list. PSP only.
Really?
Yeah. I guess I never made it to the thing. I don't know how well it did. Online,
I liked it on the portable.
Online services for the game were shut down on the 10th of October last year. So, that's good. Yeah, that's not bad though.
That's pretty darn good though, isn't it?
Had a good run. On April 12th, 2018, it was announced that Sony Interactive Entertainment will cease all online production for the game. This along with a few other PlayStation titles such as Counter Spy, Little Big Planet, Karting, and Gravity Rush 2 will all have their online functionality removed. I guess the stuff you could do on your local console is all there still, but you can't go check out other people's maps and stuff.
Man, talking about the PSP and the PS Vita, I really miss those. I would like
to have one of PSP was cool.
I know it didn't do as well as you wanted to, Sony, but I would go buy anything new you made like that. I would buy it.
Yeah, I like their handhelds. I thought the Vita was cool. Yeah. I liked the Vita a lot. The Vita kind of became the rad indie machine. You know, the Switch is enjoying that now, but at the time, the Vita was the place to get your indie games.
Oh, it was the place to go. Yeah, I think they really just saw the writing on the wall with all these mobile games on phones and stuff. It's like, oh, it's almost the same form factor. It's almost everything. How are we going to compete in this? And they kind of...
Nintendo can do it. They've got their first party stuff. Nintendo's weird. They're a weird animal. I can see why Sony got out of there, though. I get it. Microsoft was rumored to have a handheld for a long time. They never did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Xbox in the hand, baby. Oh, yeah, totally. We like this kind of stuff. Or else we got a phone call. This is a little hard to hear. I'm going to play it anyway. In fact, I'll kill this music and then play it. But a little hard to hear with his phone connection, but it's not too bad. I thought we'd play it. It's a Stadia Sony call. Here you go.
My name is Alex. I'm actually going to talk about Stadia. You guys were talking about where's the audience that is taking advantage of a stadium. And I'm actually one of those. I don't want to, I actually have a 5-year-old computer that don't run, that it doesn't run the games, the newest games, such as Red Dead 2, Call of Duty, and all those new games. So Stadia is actually for me, because I don't like consoles. So instead of spending $1,200 in a computer or upgrading my current computer, I just can, play Stadia everywhere, whenever I want.
All right, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
He wants.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, I'm one of the people.
It works for some people. Absolutely.
Yeah. I get that. And you know what? I'm all for this. I just don't think they're there yet. And they're there for some. Obviously, they're there for you. You've been thrilled. Right. But there's.
Yeah. And I don't think it's not. I don't think at this point, I don't think it's Google's fault where most of the things that they're suffering from are not Google Stadia's problems. Well, some people complain and go, not enough titles, more exclusives. And I'm like, yeah, but this is about a platform. It's kind of like how I see Steam. It's not really like a console like you would expect for more exclusives and stuff. But because the investment is super low. I expect my PlayStation and my Xboxes to have an exclusive because I am throwing down some big starting bucks. Whereas Stadia, you're just gonna pay $10. Mm-hmm. It's just like you just start playing. If it works for you, it works.
If it works, it works. I agree. I just think that in the end of the day, your console is the internet now. If you want to think of it that way, Stadia is you paying $10 to access the internet as your console, and then you buy games to play on that console. In its simplest form, that's what this is.
Super cheap. Like I said, there's a market that they're feeding. The question is that market going to be big enough for them to justify the cost of what they're doing? Will they be able to do it? And I'm pulling for them because I would like to see this, and I would like to see other companies do this as well. I think that would just be beneficial to us all.
Microsoft's plan is more interesting to me because I think they're going to have kind of a big, giant swath of hybrid ideas. Like, you're going to be able to play streaming directly, Stadia style. Or you're going to be able to download these games. You're going to be able to play them on multiple devices in multiple places with cloud saves all enabled. You're going to be able to play games via Game Pass that you would otherwise have to purchase. Instead, you're just going to get them for the one price. Like, they could really run away with this if they want to.
I think so too. I would love, like I said, I hope there's success there too. I hope it all is successful. This benefits me.
Yeah, me too.
Me.
So in Sony's case, their biggest strength is first party development. Their games are amazing, and they can't get them anywhere else. And so they hold some sway over me in that regard. Like when they do a Horizon Zero Dawn sequel. Mm-hmm. Where the hell else am I going to play that? I gotta have.
Yeah, that. Death Stranding. Here it is.
Yeah,
here's your PS4.
To me, it's like Nintendo games. If I'm going to play Mario or Zelda, where am I going to get them? I gotta get them where Nintendo goes. So it's the same thing for me.
Where are you going, Nintendo? Can I come?
Yeah, can I come with you? Would that be okay?
I just want to play some Mario.
Hey, Nintendo. That's them sniffing back at me.
I'll tell you. You know what's odd? What? Speaking of Nintendo, I've had the Mario Kart Racing mobile app on my phone for a while now, and I never did play it.
I didn't
and
either.
It's been loaded up forever, so I finally played it over the holidays, and I placed first place.
Oh,
playing against other people, like Ryan. The first race I did, I got first place, and it
well
made
done.
Me quit because I was.
It made you quit.
It made me quit. I'm like, I should not be winning first place. I'm out.
I mean, maybe those were...
It's not gonna get any better than that,
maybe
right?
Maybe those were bots. Are you sure those were people and not bots?
It said I was playing other people. It said it was real people.
All right.
So I'm going to believe it because I won, and I'm like, why play anymore? Is this going to get worse?
Does that thing work with... Because now you can sync Xbox and PlayStation controllers with an iPhone. I wonder if I can play that game with a controller now. I have to think about that one. Probably not, and I probably don't care. I've really fallen off phone games this year. in a way that I didn't too, expect.
Which is
I'm
sad.
Because I'm a fan normally of just like, oh, a cool phone thing. And there's been a couple of things. But for the most part, I've just kind of fallen way off. Even though
Apple
like
arcade service was amazing, and I really had fun for the month or two that I played it, and I just kind of lost interest.
Same. I'm just kind of like, I'll just go spend time on my... I've been playing my Switch with this year way more than I ever have. So I know it's not a problem with portable gaming, and my PC is getting most of my other love, and I'm in a weird place. Like, this next year is going to be a big deal for me, because I don't know where I am with consoles outside of the Switch.
I'll tell you, if I've played with several. I've always assumed the reason why I don't like phone games usually is because they're usually kind of limited. There's only so many different things you can do, and you can take up part of your screen real estate with your fingers, pressing stuff and everything. And it's just, it never quite feels really good. And they make add-on controllers where you can actually have controllers attached to it. But none of those are very well integrated.
They all look stupid. They're not officially licensed. They're just dumb looking.
If they could figure out a way to make my phone look like a Switch, I'd be in.
I mean, they do have clamp on the side controller style stuff, but
they don't work like you think they do. You think they're going to work. They're going to work just like a controller, but you have to like do all kinds of weird hoop jumping in and only work with certain games. And it's
that stuff's not where it needs to be right now.
No.
But hey, who are we to complain? So much to play, so much cool stuff to do. Video games, they're here to stay. That's going to do it for today's show. We're very excited about what the future holds. 2020 should be fun for the show and for video games in general. We'll be happy to be here and be that voice out there. I put on our overlay today, Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway do games their way. I like that phrase. That's pretty good, yeah?
I like that one.
Uh-huh.
Doing it our way.
Doing it our way. So we're going to keep doing that. We're grateful to you guys all year for listening to us and being a part of this, coming up, showing up for live shows, catching the show later, however it is you consume us. We appreciate it, and we hope you continue to do that well into 2020.
I'm consuming you.
I got
two gaming tips for you gamers out there. There's the things I've been enjoying, and I want to use even more in 2020. It's not games, but it's gaming tools.
Go for it.
And that is good old Games Galaxy 2. The new client allows you to attach all of your services, most of the services, a few left out, but for the most part, all the services, so you can see what you have in your library. And if you're big gamers like we are, you probably have a pretty large library, especially on Steam and all those Steam sales. So I've really enjoyed that. Another thing, too, is if you're familiar with the Opera browser, it's a Chromium-based browser, and they have something called Opera GX. And it is a gamer-centric browser, skinned mostly, and it's not really a big trick, but it's kind of nice to, when you launch it, it'll go straight into a calendar that shows what games are being released during those days and events that are happening during that time. That's cool. all the speed dial stuff is set up for like Twitch and YouTubes and different places that we'd hit as gamers.
Wow. You're suddenly making me want to use Opera for the first time ever.
Yeah. Grab the Opera GX and just look at it. I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun.
All right. I'm in. That sounds good. Nice. Look at that little end of the year thing from Brian.
Little nugget.
I like it. Well, for the rest of y'all listening, we hope you have a fantastic final couple of days. Have a safe New Year's Eve, a safe New Year's. And we'll be back on the other side in 2020 to bring you more goodness here on The Boop Show. Don't forget to visit our website, frogpants.com/boop, B-O-O-P. You can also email us, boopshow@gmail.com. We are at Boop Show on Twitter. Find Brian at The Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And you can find this show everywhere you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for all of you. See you next time.
Happy New Year!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.